Hi everyone, I'm Lula.
And I'm Jude.
And welcome back to Just Friends.
And today, I'm not even
Right
checking, I'm
into it.
right into it. We have a crazy first ever. We have our first recurring guest of the Just Friends pod. I feel like you're an official friend. Tillman, welcome back to the pod. If you want to learn more about Tillman and his life, go listen to the first episode, which was absolutely wonderful about. It was optimistic nihilism, and it was so many interesting conversations. And now we're back at it again, round two.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Glad to be back.
Great.
Someone
I've
just
got
like
things to say.
Yeah, you do.
silently dancing that whole intro. So
I'm
good.
gonna cut to Tillman dancing while I just start talking about him. He has so many things to say. The reason you're like really the main reason you're a recurring guest, other than we love you, is that you sent me a massive Google Doc list, like two
I
pages
did.
long of like things you want to talk about. Like, this man needs a podcast, okay? Okay, Tillman, first of all, can you set the scene? Where are you? How's your heart? And how's your mind?
My mind is full of wine and wafers right now because I am working on my thesis. And it is all about Catholic justifications for violence. And there's a lot of blood and gore involved. And I don't know if you would want to be where I am right now up there, but it's
No.
making for great art. So you
It
can see
is.
that in a week, in 6 days, come to the opening, 12th.
Shout out.
Shout out.
Wait,
What day is that?
that's good timing. The 12th.
The 12th.
The
Oh,
12th. Well, the
okay.
reception is the 17th, but by the time this is out, that will probably be over. So sorry, guys.
Okay, we all enjoyed Tillman's art thesis.
How are you getting that mindset? Like,
Mostly Ethel Cain is how
let's
I get
go.
into that. Shout out Preacher's Daughter. That's Mother Cain. I know Caroline, if you're listening, she knows what
She's
the
gonna be crying
fuck
right now.
is up. But Preacher's Daughter is actually legitimately a big inspiration for my thesis and my work in general. I'm doing a lot of stuff with like referencing like cannibalism and self-harm, and there's a lot of that going on in my thesis. So yeah, it's been a rough one, but we're almost done. Just had my like last crit for it with all the art majors, and it was really great. Learned a lesson about showing, not telling, but in sculpture terms, like putting violence into the process rather than into the representation. So rather
Oh.
than like having like an image of some kind of like mangled hand or whatever, which is what I was doing, having like a violent like splatter or violence in terms of like a blasphemous violence, like I'm having scattered wafers on the floor and like a cup that's overflowing. Those could all be like violent
Yeah.
aspects of the piece without it being so directly representational.
Interesting. I don't want to recap what we talked about in the last one because you guys have to listen to that if you want to know. But
Yeah,
we
go
did
listen.
talk, we talked about your arc into this like art major, sort of like investigating the intersection of like religious trauma. Now you're an art major. You were originally what, CS?
I was computer
Computer
science and
science?
psychology as a dual, not double major.
Okay, so as now you're like home stretch thesis time. How are you feeling about like your art path? Have you had any like new reflections, revelations on like, wow, this was so the right thing to do? Or like, wow, could have done CS.
No, I absolutely do not regret becoming an art major one bit. I cannot imagine what my life would be like right now if I were still a computer scientist. Like, what the fuck is that? It's just like so wildly different. I don't remember if we actually talked about this on the pod, but like just the academic structure of an art education is like so incredibly different, and like the incentives are so different and I think works so much better for me. Like, I've not received a single like point value in the last like 2 years. I haven't taken a test. I've not really even written much. It's literally just like make objects and come and talk about them and like read things and talk about it. And I think that works so much better for me. Way less like memorization, which I'm not that bad at, but like I just think like also like drawing what I can from like a Yale education versus like what I can learn like even online. Like a lot of graphic design you can learn online, and I urge people to, and like how to use like Photoshop or whatever. But I am not at all learning how to use Photoshop in my design classes. And so I think I've taken a lot more from the art at Yale than I could have from CS, because I can learn how to code online as well. Mm-hmm. And I did.
It's so interesting. I'm like, I'm like so swamped with work this week for some reason. And I'm so like viscerally envious of like having point like assessed assignments. So, so many of them on top of each other. And just like not being able to create things.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm like feel like I'm literally feel the creative energy being sucked out of me in the last like 6 days. And then I also think about like, sorry, I'm just going on a little soliloquy. I don't even have a question for you in this.
No, but
then
I'm gonna add on to this.
Okay. Then I'm like, right, the next stage of that cycle is, okay, should have been like a music major or like something creative. And then I'm like, well, I tried taking music major classes and they were all still assessment based and memorization based and like studying the classics way more than I was creating anything. I'm like, wah wah, that's my piece. We need to reframe music education.
Okay. Can I riff off your two? Because you guys both have just helped me understand something. So I was scrolling on my LinkedIn because it's my only form of social media right now and my thumbs need something to go down. And I found this post, and at first it really challenged me, but you guys just kind of like put me back into my place, because I'm like someone who's been like struggling a lot with like the meaning of college education right now and like what I want to be doing. And like, I'm not feeling like I'm getting the skills I want out of college. And this post, I'm going to read this to you guys because I thought it was very interesting, is from, well, my screenshot didn't get the person, but I'll add this person's name in the description. I'm a math major at Stanford. I'll be the first to tell you, I'll never solve a partial differential equation for work. But why is that the standard we judge the value of learning by? This whole idea of it, quote, it's not applicable in the real world, end quote, is silly. College isn't a vocational training program. It's meant to provoke curiosity, to expand your horizons. If you want real-world learning, go to a bootcamp/trade school, etc. There's nothing wrong with that. But trying to turn college into trade school is stupid. Besides, all the useless stuff you learn in high school teaches you how to think, how to analyze problems, how to weigh different perspectives. It's not a surprise the smartest people I've met in business also happen to have a lot of useless knowledge. It's because curiosity shouldn't be constrained by capitalist pursuit. Paradoxically, if you let capitalism restrain what you learn, you end up losing. You end up being a very non-interesting person with little ability to think laterally. Soon an AI agent will be able to outperform you. Go read about philosophy, math, history, whatever intrigues you. Who cares if you'll make money? It'll make you human. Good post. Interesting. Uh-huh. Challenged kind of my natural norms.
And I can't believe that's on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
What a soliloquy.
What an incredible platform.
I'd hire them.
but that being said, what I think you guys get to is that I don't feel like even in college, I'm also allowed to create and go like be curious. Like, I think my issue is that like, yeah, I'm not learning skills, but I'm also not having the freedom to go. I mean, maybe you, Tillman, have this option because of the art major, right? Like, I know you always are doing some crazy creative and like very like listening to your soul and like creative voice. But like, I mean, learning about music classics is not like doesn't feed into your curiosity. I don't feel like I have time to listen to my curiosity. All right, that's my rant. I'm sorry.
I think that you're totally right, and well, that person is actually totally right. And Yale specifically, I think, is a place that really makes for like interesting people and curious learners more than like test takers or whatever. And I think that art specifically values interesting people and curiosity much more than pretty much any major. And for instance, like thesis or whatever is just like make an object, put it in the gallery and like talk about it forever. And like, I don't think, like I do kind of also defend the like, I feel like I'm really busy all the time in the art major, but I don't feel the same kind of like lethargy or whatever that I would feel in computer science when I was swamped with work. And I think that is because it is like simultaneously like work, but it's also an outlet. And it encourages me to like, for instance, like if I'm feeling like upset about something, then I can do something about it and incorporate it into the work. And for instance, like for my thesis, when I was trying to make this like cast of my hand, and it like wasn't working and I kept on like having to like cut it off and do things, part of the critique was like, oh, it's not working, so like, but like you haven't wasted this process, like it not working is part of the process, like how can you even incorporate that? And then that's how the whole like violence thing happened, like, oh, like it's a quite a violent process to like cut out something from my hand and like rip it off and like break the fingers to like get it off of my fingers. And so then that became like central in my thesis, was like the violent process rather than whatever. And that was like from a frustration of like being of like something not working. Anyway, I think that the art major is great. I don't regret it one bit. It is really, it's actually really hard. Yeah. And it definitely, I don't think it's for everybody.
Okay, we didn't mean to talk about art at all, TBA.
Yeah, you wanna,
art's great.
But it always comes up.
It always comes up. Right. And that was all good. Okay, we want, so.
There's so many things.
Yeah, there's so many
I
things.
I feel like there's one that I so want to start with.
Well, did we already talk, I'm blacking out right now. Did we already talk about
Lula's Black,
the Google Doc?
Yeah,
while we were recording,
they sent me a Google Doc. Yeah.
Oh yes, that's why we're recurring guest. I'm locked in.
Okay.
Okay.
But there's one. There were quite a few things on the Google Doc that we were like struck by. But oh. I think you know which one I want to talk about, right?
Yeah.
Can we go there?
Wait. Yeah, I feel like we should ask Tillman if this is okay, because Tillman, you were telling us right before we started recording that you wrote this a long time ago.
No, it hasn't been okay.
in a flurry.
I did. I don't know what you're referencing.
But
I can actually pull it up. Let's see.
It's highlighted on that Google Doc. But I'll just ask you right now. Why do you think, or what are your thoughts? Do you think bullying is ever okay?
Oh. We had a conversation about criticism and critique last time.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do believe that critique and critical thinking strategies, whatever, are really valuable. And to extend that to bullying, I think is a bit far maybe, but which is also why I see I put a question mark next to it. Because I would never say this is a statement, like, guys, like, I don't know, maybe
don't cancel
bring back bullying, but like
it's a question.
But I actually get really annoyed, and I think my favorite artists and peers may share the sentiment that during critique, for instance, like I'm in an art class that is a lower level art, not that it's like worse, whatever, lower level art class, that the critique structure I find to be totally useless, because it's basically just, what do you like about this piece? What does it remind you of? Blah, blah, blah. And anything actually like critical is like too harsh, whatever. Like you don't want to encourage this person to like keep on going with art, whatever, because they don't have like a sustained practice and like blah, blah, blah. This is all to say, bullying to me implies like kids like being mean to each other. Let's not do that, maybe. But I think being like quote unquote mean is more to me like being direct and cutting through like a, oh, I was gonna say, like, I think my peers may agree that the kind of that kind of critique is totally useless and is actually quite annoying, and I can immediately recognize when somebody doesn't actually care about my piece. That was a lot of qualifiers for that, because it I don't please don't cancel me. Don't bring back bullying.
No, those are important qualifiers though. It's in good context. I mean, do you feel like you always you said the one that seems like kind of useless forms of critique is like a more is a lower level art class. Do you think that's like because I mean it sounds like it's because they're trying to encourage like more entry level people to like continue pursuing their art?
Yeah.
Like to not be humbled too quickly.
But yeah, and I think we mentioned this last time, and I think it is still true. Like it makes sense for those the intro level classes, because this is like these people are still very likely quite tied. Like a lot of people who don't make that much art, art they do make feels like an extension of themselves. And so to critique the art feels like a critique of your personhood and your identity. But for people who make a lot of art, I feel often that that becomes less and less true, and it's a much more healthy way to create, to separate yourself a little bit from what you make. And so it's not as personal when somebody's like, I don't think this is working. You should try something else, whatever.
I think that there's, so, okay. Let me say, as someone who was bullied, I mean, I was a magician. It's like,
yeah, it, come on. He was not, asking for
like,
it.
Yeah. I had a fedora phase. Like, I was, but as someone who's bullied, no, bad bullying's bad. But I do think you have a point about, and I think this is outside of the art world and critique world, that we're not, we've gotten scared about being direct with each other. And I am scared about it too. But like, I think actually being very straight up, transparent, and upfront is like a good quality. And like, I think that there's probably a line, but like, I don't know. Are we like, why are we living in a society where like, we're like, oh, like, yeah, like, I don't really want to get a lunch with you. Like, it's not that I don't like, it's just, I maybe I like you, but I don't really want to like get lunch with you. Like, why is that like such a bad thing? And it really is. And it's like, wow, that was mean. Like, that's bullying. But it's like, no, you're just like listening to what you want and your desires. And I think that could be, I, that one's the one that came up to my mind, but there's plenty of different things that like, so yeah, I feel like we're shifting in that direction a lot as society.
I also think it applying it to like a bigger society cause, whatever. I think also it's interesting to apply the idea of like with the art example, becoming less attached or feeling like the thing that you're being criticized about or receiving like blatant feedback on, like detaching that as so wholly connected to your identity
yep.
is important. This is like a little bit of a tangential example. But this is all making me think of this. In the fall, right at the orientation for study abroad, in it was in Amsterdam, in case there are any new listeners, they were like, please be like aware that the Dutch are very, very blunt.
We had the same thing.
Yeah. And they were like, please do not come crying to us when, you know, a waiter is like, quote unquote, rude to you.
Yep.
Or if like a professor sends you like a 4-word email reply. Yeah, I think the bullying thing versus like being more blunt with opinions.
Well, what is the, what's the what like I, there is a difference, but what's the difference? Is the difference is that one's malicious and
as
one's
somebody
not?
Somebody who's bullied, dude. What do you think?
I don't know.
I also think that like honesty is not kindness. I used to be of
I get
the school of thought that like if you like aren't telling somebody like everything you think and know or whatever, then you're not like being kind or whatever. Like it's not always kind to tell somebody that they like look tired or whatever, even though you think
True.
That actually.
Yeah.
Fun fact. So I don't know. I maybe approaching interaction with warmth in general, but being direct is really important.
Do you think this is like bled over into your friendships though? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's easier.
Do you bully your friends too?
No, I don't mean you bully your friends, but I mean, like, I don't know. I think people, like, it sounds like you've gotten used to like a certain level of bluntness and critique through like these art classes. But like, what about people who are just like coming in at the entry level?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, do you approach yes. them with the like, bruh, I don't want to see you?
Well, that's funny you ask that because I actually, a few days ago, I had a moment where I very much realized that like maybe honesty isn't kindness and not everybody is like used to the same level of critique, like rigor and critique, and like lack of sugarcoating or anything. I had a friend who was excited that he had just been able to make a new website for this like restaurant that he worked at, and he showed it to me, and I had just been in design class, and so I immediately started being like, oh, I think that like maybe the text here like can't really be white on top of this photo because you can't read like half these letters, and like I think like the typeface in general is kind of tacky and maybe like isn't fitting with the like vibe of this like high-end restaurant and like whatever. And he's like, oh, okay, and then like proceeds like not to show me anything else about the website or whatever. And I realized that what he wanted was affirmation that he had just done this cool thing, and I gave critique, and maybe that wasn't the best decision.
Because, like, it also seems kind of aggressive to, like, say, well, do you want to be affirmed or do you want critique? Like,
it's like, oh, so you
like,
have
so you
critique.
Do have something. Yeah.
Then it's like, damn.
Yeah. I mean, my mom, for instance, I think this is a lot of actually where it comes from. My mom is an actress, primarily. And after every show, she immediately is like, okay, what was your favorite part? Did you like it? Like, we're analyzing it. Like, what do you think didn't work? Whatever. And she can immediately tell if you didn't actually like the show, and does not want you to lie to her about liking it. But there is an art definitely to graciously being like, yeah, you were really up there.
You were really up there.
You had, it looks
Your
like you had so much
great.
Fun. Whatever.
Yeah. This goes to like my thing about like standing ovations. Like, I think they're just so overdone. Like, there is some like kind of like sugarcoating that our society's going through. And I don't know. And that's different than like, I think some of it is really important, but some of it isn't. And I don't know where that line is. Like, that's where it is. Because, like, yeah, bullying sucks and it should not be a thing, right? So, like, that's, like, I think there's a, but the line is hard. And
options
also,
aren't bullying or standing ovation.
But, like, really. Okay, like, also, like, this is a question. But, like, I feel like I interact with kids and, like, they can be mean.
Well, kids are the meanest,
but
right?
Yeah, but they're honest. Like, I don't know how much, like, I think there is malicious, like, kids out there that, and kids, anyone out there right now, that there are bullies out there that are coming from like a mean place, but there are also people that I think are just like, no.
Well, there's like, I mean,
I don't want to hang out with you.
Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds so bad. Like, we can't be okay with exclusion, but like, isn't that all of life? Isn't every institution super exclusive? Isn't like everything around us exclusionary? Like, are we just going to pretend that you can, when you want to be part of something, you can always be part of it? Maybe, but like, I don't know what, like, I don't know if that's like a good or bad thing to instill in anyone. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
I don't know if it's, I'm not, I don't have an opinion. I'm just,
no,
happening with
you're
this.
Confused.
Yeah.
I know. I know.
So, because I don't want, yeah.
Yeah, it's so. Yeah, I don't know, because I'm like, I don't think, again, it's a balance thing, but I'm like, I don't really think, I could see like very detrimental effects in like preparing a kid for a completely exclusive reality. You know what I mean?
Inclusive.
Like, no, exclusive.
Oh, exclusive.
Like, I think there's some, that's why there's like everyone gets a medal when you're a certain yep. age. You know what I mean? Like,
but,
you
then, but then at some point you don't get the medal.
Right. And then you're fucked. Like, then I guess it gets really bad really quick. I don't know.
There was a rule in my middle school where you could invite as many people that are in your grade. So if you're in fifth grade, you can invite 5 people to your party, or you had to invite all of the boys or all of the grade.
Wait.
Okay.
Sorry. No.
Okay. So when I was in eighth grade, if I wanted to have a party, uh-huh. I could have 8 people.
That's a small function.
32 boys or all 64 people. Because I had like a small class. But that was the deal. And it was a rule. And I would get in, like, I did it one time. I didn't listen to the rule because I had more than 8 friends, but I didn't want 32 kids.
They're all boys. Difference.
I have like more girlfriends than guy friends. And I was like, okay. And I got sent to the counselor.
That's also very gendered.
Very gendered.
Very interesting. Yeah. Super really, gendered.
I really grappled with it when most of my friends were girls in middle school yeah. and high school and college.
That's
but yeah, like that's not how I don't think that's helping anyone, but maybe I get the idea of it.
Like a room of 32 boys in eighth grade is definitely not helping anyone. I don't know. I don't like that rule.
Me either, but I think that that's like I think there is that speaks to something that is happening.
Okay, I think we should pivot.
Okay,
but or not pivot, too. But related.
Okay,
there was another point on the Google Doc, now that we're talking about exclusion.
Oh, was, yeah, I like this.
Wait, I forget what it was. Thank you. It was about, like, social isolation versus loneliness. Tillman.
Yeah. I remember that.
I was having, like, fever dream yeah, flashback.
This, I'm sure that this is in reference to, I made it for a final project last semester, a publication anthology called Cyanide. The Age of Melancholic Extremism is the subtitle. And part of it was I was presenting posts from incel forums as if they were poetry.
Whoa.
And it was both an act of like radical empathy, like trying to understand like how these people could get to a point where they're like it got honestly the hardest part of making this anthology was finding posts that were like writing that line of like, oh, this is actually scary, but not so scary that I want to stop reading, and not like so gross that I just like don't want to read this thing. Because it got really gross really fast.
Can you give some examples of just stuff that you saw? Because I don't, like, I'm probably not on the incel forums. So
you're definitely not. If you don't know if you are, you're definitely not. They're kind of hard to find at this point. Not that hard. And yeah, there it's just a lot of, like, incredibly violent misogyny that then turns into, like, eugenics and like really intense racism and the part of the like thesis of the book was that the like when does having community become a bad thing and thinking about like online community as this like for instance like for queer people online community has really been revolutionary and a lot of people have had led much better lives because of these online communities but simultaneously like it lets people like these violent misogynists that go down this whole track of being incels which are like involuntary celibates by the way listeners it just like festers this incredibly gross place where like really dangerous ideas come about. So like one of the like most intense posts that I came across was like somebody was like my reaction to like this recent mass shooting, and it was an audio clip of like him maniacally laughing for a while, oh and like whatever, and like had a whole shrine to like the shooter, and like that's the like ultimate end to this like community. And so like part of this anthology was documenting the like first like, oh haha, like this person obviously hates women, but like in a funny way, or like they're like in a like relatable, like, oh my god, like maybe like whatever. And then it's like, oh, they also are saying weird stuff about Jewish people, that's a little weird. And then, oh, like they're actually making plans to like making theoretical plans, like what if I were to kill my roommate? Yeah. And then like, oh, what if I were to commit this mass violent act? Yeah. And so anyway, I forgot about the original question. Oh, social isolation versus loneliness. One of the four parts of this, because it came in four parts, one of them was Incel Post, and then Bluettes by Maggie Nelson, which is a beautiful book that reads kind of like a like journal entries in which Maggie Nelson falls in love with the color blue, but it gets like really weird and obsessive, and calls into question like what love even means. And then this forensic science dissertation about the link between social isolation and violent extremism, especially as related to problematic internet usage. And part of the preamble was like, what's the difference? We're not measuring loneliness, we're measuring social isolation, which are different metrics. And loneliness is more of a subjective, like what is like the perceived social network that like I interact with on a regular basis, and like how do I feel when I am alone? Do I feel lonely? Because everybody's like alone for some portion of their day or whatever, but might not feel lonely. And then social isolation, I'm pretty sure was like specifically how many people, I forget exactly what the metric was, but it was like a number of people that you could like feel like you could confide in without it like changing their like view of you or something like that. And so there is not necessarily in each person a correlation between like perceived loneliness and actual size of like a social network, or social isolation, which would be like the lack of this close-knit, like these specific people that you feel you can confide in. But yeah, I thought that was interesting, that like the perception can be different than the reality in that sense. And like some people might have like a larger social network than others, but feel like very lonely. Or some people might not have a large social network, but feel really like they're part of a community. Yeah, cyanide was crazy.
Okay, on the incel topic, I was just thinking, and this is not going to be a helpful contribution if no one knows the name of this person, because I forget. But there was some famous, but really, really infamous, crazy incel guy who committed this like significant mass shooting, but then wrote his suicide letter and like published it, became super, super widespread. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You know what I'm talking
about. I do. I don't know any, like it was one of the many mass shootings that happens in America.
Tillman's nodding.
Yes, I definitely know what you're talking about, and it is consistently like, unfortunately, I also forget the name of this person, but he's consistently referenced and like revered in a lot of incel forums.
Wasn't his motives like able to be proven in court? Well, okay, we don't know the name of this guy, but
no, but I mean, yeah, it's just crazy and horrific. And interesting. Like you said, it's one of the whatever countless mass shootings in America. But also, it's this, he's backed by this crazy online forum.
Yep.
Of like a very specific community being like, yes, this is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And it's just so wild to me. That was my only contribution to the incel topic because I'm so scared of, yes.
It's really interesting because it's just like how, what you said, that like, the LGBTQ plus movement found so much progress.
The what movement?
LGBTQ plus? No?
You got it.
Did I miss
it? No, you got it. There are some more pluses.
Yeah. Okay. Let me catch up.
No, continue.
No, let's hear the other ones. Educate me.
Well, I think it's usually people say LGBTQIA. Some people put
the IA.
Uh-huh.
Okay. IA.
That wasn't meant to be a call. You did great.
LGBTQ plus.
No, you did it.
IA plus.
Well, the plus would be after the IA.
Okay, actually, wait, that's another topic you wrote too. Well, okay, there's a lot.
Oh my
okay.
God, that is. I remember that. Wait, can you say
what you were going to say and then can we go to it? The online movement in the queer community
has been like really important for that community. And like, thank God. And there's a lot of, like, this goes back to like just a lot of the times of like social media of like, how do you quantify the good and bad? Like, there's been so much good from internet groups versus then you look at these intel groups and you're like, well, this is pretty bad. And like, we have no real way of like actually weighing it. And because of our sensationalist society, we usually hear more about the incel and like the guy who shot up a fucking, I don't know, grocery store or church and fucking like was supported by all of his men on that support. And we don't hear as much about how it was helpful for like queer spaces. And so like, it is interesting because there is a lot of good that the internet does. It's just, but we have no way of actually like figuring out quantifying that. Because when I hear that, I'm like, let's shut the fucking internet down. Like,
of
that's
scary. Didn't Reddit just become
public? Yeah. IPO.
Wah, wah. Okay.
Wait, no, wah-wah. Why wah-wah?
I don't know.
If anything, it's like fine. Like, okay. It doesn't really change that much.
I don't know anything about it.
Too expensive of like evaluation, but that's it.
The wah-wah was just closing off my comment that that wasn't going to lead us anywhere.
Okay, let's talk about that. What was you do? I didn't understand your bullet point, to be honest, Tillman. So if you want to, I'm going to let you. I'm just going to let you take control.
We're talking about adding now listeners. No, to the listener, we're reverting back to the LGBTQ/IA+.
So now it's a slash too.
No, I'm just telling to the listener. That's what we're deliberating, right?
Well, I don't know what we're deliberating.
Okay.
It was just something was related to pronouns, right?
People had slashes and shit in there. Acronyms.
There's something. Well, I feel like we're not making any sense to people who haven't seen this Google.
Well, I know. Wait, do you want me to read it?
No.
Or tell me,
we're talking about identifiers.
Okay.
Right?
I don't know.
I think I probably wrote something about. Maybe this is. Okay, guys, I will preface this. This is a hot take, and I am used to critique, and please critique me. I think that. So, okay, same class as Cyanide, there was a grad student who did a really interesting project to me that got me thinking a lot about margins and how a shape with expanding margins and thus an expanding surface area becomes weaker and weaker as it expands. Interesting concept to apply to something like the LGBTQIA+ community, formerly known as the gay community, which has also become like an incredibly broad term that now I think queer is more accurate. Like some people just say a queer community. Basically, I think that stuff like neopronouns, so instead of like a they them, like a z's or blah blah, I question like the efficacy of a neopronoun in general, because my stance on like language and pronouns are that like he, him, for instance, when I say he about somebody that I'm referencing, I am incorporating your learned experience of what it means to be a he into how I'm referencing this person. And that teaches you a lot about a person without me having to explain anything. And of course, our definitions of like what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman are constantly changing. And I am all for breaking down these like gender roles and breaking down and really examining what it means to be a man and how that's tied to how like that gender identity is tied to a sexual identity, is tied to body and like bodily autonomy and whatever. And I think, for instance, referring to people as they, them, is a really interesting concept that, and a really interesting gesture in terms of like, I am not choosing to identify with either of these preconceived notions and either of these like packages of meaning that are attached to a pronoun. And I like wouldn't think it's like accurate to identify me as a he or me as a she, because that comes with this whole preconceived notion of how I should look and act. And so to me, they, them is like a rejection of that. And then for neopronouns, a rejection of what is happening. I'm not entirely sure how it has been explained to me before is like, well, I think it's actually interesting in that now I think like they, them comes, I think in the document I put it as like a heuristic, like a linguistic heuristic. It's just a funny thing to say, but heuristic being like a shortcut of like learning something about somebody. And I think they used to be like just like nothing. And now, because more and more people, especially in our age group, identify with they, them pronouns, it has kind of taken on its own gender identity. And there is kind of a learned experience of like what it means to be a they at this point. And what it means to be non-binary. And so it comes with this whole package again. So I think neopronouns are an interesting rejection of that newfound kind of gender identity of not what it means to be a non-binary person. But just linguistically, I don't see how this like a word has to have, any word has to have this collective understanding of like it's a signifier that is attached to some bundle of meaning. And so creating a neopronoun is basically just creating a name at that point, because it's so personalized that it doesn't come with any package of meaning. And so then why are we not using names at that point? What is the point of a pronoun? Like pronouns have a point, and to me that point is to have some package of meaning. And even if that means they, which to me is a signifier that like I am not, like I'm part of this like third package at this point. I don't know. Neopronouns are super complicated. And I remember putting in that document that I was not on board yet.
I mean, I have lots of thoughts, but I'm reminded of a big debate that I've gotten in, and I actually was kind of convinced on a different side than I was expecting. But I know of someone who, I don't know if they still do, but or, I don't know even what the pronouns would be considered. But they wanted to be they wanted to be considered a mermaid. And I think it was like mer or merm as the pronoun. And so it's like, well, are we? And this is a super out of like really like, from my understanding, this is the only person I know of that's done this. So like, I don't know if this is like a trend or a thing, but like, can you change your identity to a different creature? Right? Like that seems, and then are you, and then I think that, and I, at first I was in very much of like, a, oh, I'm pro this, like they should be, or merms should be allowed to do whatever they want. But one of the people that I was talking about this with, because it is an interesting question, is like, well, then should this thing be treated like not a person because they're being, they want to be an animal?
And something mythical.
Mythical. Like, and
unless
it's like,
they believe in mermaids, but.
Unless this thing believes in mermaids. Like, it's a really crazy kind of, and I actually, I think that our, I'm in a linguistics class and I wish I paid more attention so I could contribute more to this, but like, there's a part about like, they, them is already built into the human language as a signifier that is like much easier to adopt. And that doesn't mean that like, all these changes should be based on how easy they are to adopt, but it's like, in my head, we know what they is not, like, it's a rejection of the binary. And like, that makes a lot, that feels normal. And I think that humans have such a need to categories in general that is a it's there's a reason we do it, but it's annoying, and it really makes a lot of complexity for a lot of people that don't fit the categories. But are we allowed to change our species?
It's so so many thoughts, everyone. One, I think, okay, going back to, I have something to go back to with this, what
like
you're
the
saying.
Merm?
Yeah. But first, going back to, Tillman, what you were saying about the, like, they, them used to be a signifier of basically nothing, and now it is a signifier of something very specific sometimes, I think is worded so well, because I've been catching myself and other people when referring to someone who just like in, I don't know, just like for no reason referred to someone in the third person as like they or them. I'm like interrupted by whoever I'm talking to. It's like, oh, are they non-binary? And I'm like, no, it's a fucking pronoun. Like, it's just, you know what I mean? And this whole thing is reminding me of like the people who are like, have you seen those interviews of people who like, whatever, are usually like homophobic and like don't understand the English language and are like, I don't believe in pronouns. Sorry, that's this whole conversation's reminding me of, even though I know that's where none of us stand. Okay, back, dude's jumping forward.
I'm gonna come back and make that a social media post for Luna.
Back to the mermaid example. I know this is not the same thing, but it's reminding me of a crazy conversation I had in this like modern social theory class. It was probably like freshman year or sophomore fall or something at this point. And we were talking about just what can be trans, like what can you put trans in front of in terms of like social constructs. And of course, Rachel Dolezal came up because our transracial infamous queen, she's in some hot water now. Any, have you guys seen that? Her more recent?
No.
Okay, not for now. Anyway, she's still up to her shenanigans. But my professor was like, well, and not, you know, arguing that one can decide that they're black in her case, for example, but he was like, if people accept that one can be transracial, for example, can you be trans class? Like all of these things that are like really ingrained, not only in society, but like in who you are as a person. Do you have the authority to change that? Trans, like, I'm not at all being like, people can't be transgender. That is not what I'm getting at. I'm getting at like, almost everything else, I have a really hard time being like, you can just decide you are not at all attached to your identity. And then that makes me question. Weird. I know it is weird. It makes me question my own stuff because I'm like, now I'm sounding like a boomer who doesn't understand the idea of being transgender. Because to me, like, deconstructing gender is so obvious. Like, that's not, you know?
But then you could make that argument about many other social identity facets.
Right.
Yet when you say any of the other ones, I just went through, like, that scares me. Like,
right.
Like, class, yeah, that'd be, like, kind of confusing.
Right. Maybe, like, I decided to, like, just portray myself as a billionaire all of a sudden. What does that, like,
I know
what
don't know
I mean?
What that means.
I don't know what that means either. Yeah. Because it's like with the Rachel Dolezal, it's like she's decided she's taking on like what it means to be Black in America. You can't do that, right? We should get her on the pod. You can't do that.
Get her on the pod.
You can't do that.
And like the same thing as if you're like deciding your class, you're deciding that you have experience that you don't have.
Yeah.
Well, my mom had an interesting, I had a very interesting conversation with my mom a while ago. In which I got kind of like annoyed at her because she was like, well, I don't know, like trans women aren't women, not my words. Because she has this whole lived experience of like what it means to like grow up as a woman and this whole like this cultural identifier of like a womanhood that she has identified with her whole life is now like being expanded to this person who has lived effectively and culturally and socially as a man for most of their life. And so she didn't understand like how they could have the same moniker and like how they could both be women when women to her was this whole social lived experience that that person did not have. And I didn't have good words for like why that was wrong at the time. I was like, you're not supposed to say that. But like I don't really know why. So don't ask me more questions about it. And now I think it's a really interesting point in terms of like, and I'm all of a sudden sounding conservative, guys, I swear.
No, we swear.
I am the most whatever. I think it's a really interesting point in reference to like this idea of margins expanding and thus like this thing becoming weaker. And how, for instance, like the trans umbrella now is what a lot of people talk about. And a lot of people consider like non-binary people under the trans umbrella. And so like, what does it mean to be trans at this point? I'm not entirely sure this, it means the same thing to everybody. And I don't, like, I think the queer community has become such an incredibly vast community that I don't even know if it feels like a community at this point. I know a lot of people in my life have kind of dropped out of like the discourse or whatever because it feels so cannibalistic and like feels just like so vast and unreachable that like maybe it's not a community anymore. And I feel maybe the same can extend to pronouns.
Yeah,
like it kind of doesn't mean anything anymore if you're making new ones.
And maybe like that might be the point eventually, is that it's going more to like, why the hell do we even have these categories? And like kind of more of like if we have so many different types of pronouns, then like why we even have pronouns in the first place? However, I also think there is something to be said about like the emergence of them was for like humans we do categorize things. Like that's just how humans work. Like, and
which is
maybe,
very useful.
And yeah, there's a lot of benefits
that's how
to it. And it's like,
works.
Yeah, like our brains do it. Like we don't even have that much control over it. Like, so like finding that balance of like, yes, like this seems like a pretty unnecessary social order to like, well, you can't just change your race, right? Like, but where do we define those classes? Also, I just want to bring, oh no, is the camera overheating?
There's a warning sign on the camera.
Okay, so we're just going to go there and I'm fine because we're wrapping up.
FML.
Okay.
Okay.
Wait, I have one point I need to bring up real quick.
Okay.
I just, my final thoughts, and I just want to bring this up because we all just were like, oh my God, like I'm sounding socially conservative. And like, I just want to be very clear. We're not. None of us are. And
true.
I think it's actually really important that we ask these questions, even though we can say, no, you know what? Like, I'm going to support like LGBTQIA plus, like, but sometimes I fuck up, you know, like I didn't know that. And like this, there's questions that I have, and we can ask questions and grapple with these topics and not be like, well, you guys are conservative because you guys had a conversation about it. Right.
Yeah.
But I have that feeling too. I'm like, oh my God, I'm scared I'm gonna get canceled. Like, but like, this is important. These are important questions.
I know. I also don't even think you not saying IA is a fuck up. But also now I could be canceled for saying
yep
to the IA people. So
to the IA people.
Sorry.
Yeah, the intersex, asexual, something. Is that
I believe
all?
In you and I
and those
you.
Folks used to be considered a plus, but who now
love
is
you guys. Shout out to the intersex
out,
people.
Shout out. Shout out. But now who's being considered a plus right now that at some point is all validly gonna be like, well, I wanna be considered my own like community.
Uh-huh.
But then it's like, okay, like it's just, yeah. So all of these things, because I don't think bullying, I think like, like hashtag bring back bullying. No, just kidding. But like that
exclusion
conversation,
is in, guys.
It's going to be our last episode of the pod ever.
Exclusion
I think we should stop the podcast after this.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. You can find us on Truth Social.
Don't even say
yeah.
That was a joke. That one is going to get me canceled.
Next podcast, Blair White. Roll
up. Tillman, you are always a pleasure. I love you. Thank you for having real, honest, raw conversations and like questioning society and art and yourself.
Next time, Tillman X Rachel Dolezal.
Yeah.
Double Zoom screen.
Yeah. So
guys, leave a comment. Wait,
leave a comment.
Are there comments? Leave a comment if I said anything of value or if I didn't and roast me. And
yeah, be
I,
critical. Critique him.
Yeah, be critical. Go check out my website and please hire me starting next fall in New York in some kind of art or design position. Shout out.
What's your Instagram and what's your website?
It's my name, Tillman Flager, hopefully in the title of this somewhere.
Yes.
That's my Instagram, and my website is tflagerdesign.com. Thank you.
And that'll
much.
All be in the description.
Woo!
Thank you all so much for listening, you all. I said it twice. Oh, I got pronouns got stressed out. Thank you all so much. Thank you all so much for listening. We will see you next Sunday.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.